This episode of the Daily Observations is sponsored by Rocket Money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and save at rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. Pretending to be artificial intelligence. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, the 11th of January, 2023. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butts, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Good to have you aboard, sir.
Good to be aboard.
Second part of today's show, building a better protein. Scientists are using AI to build cures. Jeff will tell us more about that. First, though, taking a look at a year in service and the place where service are falling down. Apple issued a press release on Tuesday. It was kind of the state of the services business from Apple's point of view today. It starts off with a note from Eddie Q, who I like to call Eddie the Butler Q. That's changed over the years because when he was the VP of iTunes, he was Eddie the Tunes Q. And then he was iTunes and the App Store. It was Eddie the Stuff. But now he's doing service. So, you know, Eddie the Butler. The note started with like pretty much just a rah, rah, rah thing about how excited Apple is that, or how excited he is, rather, that we have so much at our fingertips now, you know, games, applications, entertainment, all kinds of stuff. And then he's super stoked about, you know, Apple's part in that. Not really much in the way of numbers. There are 900 million paid subscriptions across Apple services, according to Mr. Q, and there have been payouts of $320 billion to developers selling goods and services since the App Store came online in 2008. And everything else was kind of fluffy. Apple Arcade has 200 games. Apple Music has over 100 million songs. There have been over 70 billion Shazam audio identifications. And this one honestly stunned me. Apple Fitness Plus is now in 21 countries. That did not stun me.
Okay.
It currently serves people with 3,500 workouts and meditations.
Huh.
That's a lot in like a year and a half.
Yeah, it is.
I was sort of surprised to see that. Lots of other stuff about lots of other stuff. I mean, stuff about Apple TV Plus and how excited they are about that. And they won CODA and they've got Ted Lasso and lots of stuff about news and News Plus, the various payment services that Apple has, stuff about books, maps, podcasts, some stuff about their live sports push, which, of course, is only going to get louder and stronger as we approach the 1st of February and Major League Soccer.
Go!
Nice. That's all great news. So let us, of course, concentrate on something uncool.
Yeah.
TechCrunch ran a piece about all of the different ChatGPT apps that you can get in both the Google Play Store and the App Store. Jeff, do you have any of these ChatGPT apps?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Why don't you have any of the ChatGPT apps, Jeff? Because I don't know if you know, ChatGPT is all the rage. Why don't you have one of the apps?
Why do I need an app when I can just bring it up in a browser, either on my Mac or on my phone, and it works just fine?
Yeah, not only that, ChatGPT hasn't actually put out an app.
Right. That's the other thing. You know, the thing that they're pretending to offer you does not have a public API for developers to tie into for their third-party apps.
I will tell you honestly, if I had had more time, I might have gone to the App Store and tried to download one of these things because I'm trying to figure out if there's any way. Well, let me back up. For people who don't know, as Jeff just said, OpenAI has made ChatGPT available for free to anyone on the web. So if you've got an internet connection, you can go there and you can use it. A bunch of app developers now have put, well, I don't know what they've done. That's the thing, because I didn't download any of the apps and now we're caught up to where I was 45 seconds ago. I'm curious if they have put some sort of skin on it that makes it easier to use, if they have put any kind of anything. Obviously, they've done some sort of gatekeeping on their own, because I read about one where you can apparently buy credits, so you get X number of asks of ChatGPT, which, again, you do not need because it is free online. Read about another one that you can pay $7.99 a week or $49 for a 6 month something, which again, you don't need because it's all available for free online. The reason we're concentrating on this is because why is Apple letting this happen? Why is Google letting this happen? And this,
yeah, those are great questions. And you know what it's going to lead to. And I'm going to attempt to get something up on the Mac Observer later today that will look at one of these apps and look at how to get out of the subscription that it may talk you into signing up for.
Well, you may want to do it quick, too, because the TechCrunch article that I was reading about this earlier focused on one app in particular, and then I want to say it was maybe an hour or two later that app was off the App Store.
Yeah, so it's possible. Others.
Well, yeah, no doubt, and there will be more. I mean, one of the things that they talked about in this article as well is the fact that, you know, there might have been like, I'm just going to make up names. I would not be surprised if these are in the App Store. But, you know, ChatGTP, ChatGTP Pro, and ChatGTP Pro Plus, or GPT, or however you're supposed to say it. It's possible. I mean, some developers are going in and just like changing one letter or adding one word and putting a whole bunch of apps up in the hopes that they will get picked up different places and seen different places and people will subscribe to them different places.
Yeah.
They're the same app. But then the other thing is if somebody says, hey, ChatGPT Ultra is a scam, then if Apple pulls that down, well, they've got five others maybe.
They've got five others to back it up. Now, the good news, at least from my point of view as far as writing this public service announcement, is the process of unsubscribing. I don't need to know particularly what app you've subscribed to.
Right.
I can just show you how to do it in general, and you go in and look at all of your subscriptions and kill off the ones that you don't want.
My hope is that this time tomorrow, or maybe even later today, what's going to happen is something is going to have gone out to all of the app review people and it's going to be pulled down. Either that or Apple's going to go in, search for whatever, and pull them down themselves.
Yeah, we can hope.
Yeah, because I know that years ago when I was talking regularly to my friend August Trometer, who is an early app developer, he's actually worked on a couple of startups that did apps as well and all that stuff. What he has told me before is basically they're launching it, making sure it's not going to crash your device, make sure it's actually going to go ahead and run, and then making sure it's not doing anything nefarious, you know, that you can see immediately with who knows how many thousands of apps being submitted every day. It's not really overly surprising that whoever is reviewing these apps, whatever human curation is reviewing these apps, or whatever people are reviewing these apps, wouldn't necessarily know, hey, hold on a second, ChatGPT is free. How are these people charging for that? I mean, they're making sure it's not going to crash your phone. Hopefully, they're making sure it's not going to infect anything. And then, you know, a couple of days later, hopefully Apple's going to go back and go, hey, wait a second, we shouldn't have let these people get scammed.
I think it's more of because, okay, yes, ChatGPT is free. By that same token, so is the Linux kernel. And yet, companies like Red Hat, companies like,
Just say Red Hat again, it's fine.
Red Hat.
Right.
They have paid distributions. That, you know, they are legally able to sell despite the fact that it's open source and it's covered under the GPL license because they've done enough of their own work to make it something they can sell.
And this goes back to what I kept trying to say earlier, and I don't know if I said it clearly. Like, I'm wondering if one of these apps does have any sort of functionality that even if it is not functionality that you would need to go online and use ChatGPT, have they thrown in some sort of functionality that they can say, well, we can justify this cost because we have built this thing through which people are doing this. Even if it is just we have an app that goes to a web browser that does it, but we've time boxed it. And if you want to get out of that time box, but stay in our app, you have to pay us whatever.
Right.
Which, of course, then gets ludicrous. I mean, if they're charging for the experience of using the app to access ChatGPT, not charging for access to ChatGPT, then it's like one of those, you know, then it's a crappy thing, but I'm not sure it's an illegal thing. But it is a crappy thing. And let me say again, it's kind of crappy.
It's a crappy thing. Yeah. You know, not having looked at any of the apps yet, my guess is that if they do anything at all that actually makes use of OpenAI's offering, it's done using an in-app browser.
Right, which is how they're able to regulate it and how they're able to charge.
Right, and it's still shiesty.
Yeah,
because you don't need it.
And by the way, let's put the timer on. I'm guessing 5 minutes, maybe less, before we get the first article saying how horrible it is that Apple is actually benefiting from the scam ChatGPT apps, because of course all the subscriptions get 30%, or any in-app purchases get 30% as well.
Yeah, but I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't think that it's anything illegal.
Well, probably not, but it's still crappy.
Yeah, it's shiesty, it's crappy, it's predatory.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, I mean, it's trading on the buzzword status of ChatGPT currently. I mean, remember like a year or two ago where everything was blockchain?
Yep.
Even if it wasn't?
Yep.
Because people were throwing money hand over fist. The TechCrunch piece I was talking about referenced also the Flappy Birds knockoffs and the Wordle knockoffs. Mm-hmm. Those, again, are a bit different, though, because they were actually knockoffs of IP as opposed to a way to access.
Right.
Tell you what I'm going to ask you to do.
Okay.
Only subscribe to like 5 of these things and then get back to
no.
us.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, go 10 if you want to, but I really think 5 would do it, Jeff.
Absolute most it's going to be 1.
All right. Just so you can see how fast you can get your money back.
Unless you want to give me your credit card number.
Nah, I'm good.
All
We're
right.
going to move in a moment from using AI terms to scam people to potential breakthroughs powered by artificial intelligence. Jeff's got an interesting story of machines doing things that we cannot in a moment. But first, a word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. If you're like a lot of people, you've probably got different subscriptions coming from different payment methods. Getting a handle on all of them can be tough. Rocket Money makes it easy. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they have forgotten about, like that free trial you forgot to cancel or that streaming service you signed up for so you could watch just one show. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Lose the unwanted subscriptions and save with Rocket Money. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. That's rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. Jeff Butts is with us today. He is the managing editor of the Mac Observer online at macobserver.com, and he is an erudite individual, been reading The Gray Lady, the paper of record, the New York Times, no less.
Yeah.
Those are all three the same paper, by the way. You came across a really interesting article about ways scientists are using artificial intelligence.
You know, we were just talking about ChatGPT. OpenAI, you know, AI generating text for you. Prior to that, we had DALL-E generating art for you. It would take different photographs and look at the relationship between the captions and those photographs and then create something. Well, medical scientists are taking this into their own field. They're using the same kind of techniques to create new proteins. You know, in the past few years, AI labs like DeepMind showed that they could use neural networks to guess what the three-dimensional shape would be of any protein just by telling it what compounds it contained.
Hmm.
And those guesses were very, very accurate. So now at the University of Washington, other academic labs and startups, researchers are using these similar systems to generate blueprints for entirely new proteins that don't exist yet. And the goal is to create these proteins that can do specific things, like fight the virus that causes COVID, mm-hmm. eradicate cancer, wipe out the flu in the body, things like that. One of the researchers that's involved, this person used to be a researcher at Stanford, now is an entrepreneur and is working in the field. Says that, you know, with DALL-E, you can ask for an image of a panda eating a shoot of bamboo. Equivalently, protein engineers can ask for a protein that binds to another in a particular way or some other design constraint, and the generative model can build it. So it actually builds a 3D model of this protein, telling researchers what compounds go into it, what it should look like, and then they can go and try to synthesize that.
Hmm.
Now, this is exciting. It's also scary as you know what. You know, I like the idea that medical science might be able to come up with a protein that can cure the flu, cure COVID-19, cure cancer, really anything from your body in this way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the paranoia in me kicks in. You know, if medical science can accomplish something like this, come up with a pill that takes away your gluten intolerance so you can eat regular bread again, who's to say they couldn't also come up with a compound that makes you allergic to salt or water or even just oxygen?
Yeah, I was talking with a scientist several years ago now. It was the first time I met him. Mm-hmm. Got to hang out with him for a few days at a convention. And honestly, he was scary. I mean, what's great is he's a good guy. But the company that he was working for, he was saying, I can't remember if it was 2015 or 2016 now, but he kept saying, in 5 years, we're going to print a virus. It was kind of funny, actually, because I heard him give that talk a couple of times. And one time, one person in the audience went, yay. But his whole thing was, you know, we need to do this and we need to know how to do this, because if we can, so can someone else. And while we're like, you know, wearing white hats, it would not be impossible to see a bad actor, you know, creating a virus that'll just kill a certain gene type, say. I mean, like a person who carries a certain gene type or something like that, you know, freak me the heck out, as you say.
Yeah. I mean, same here. You know, I talked about it with, I'm sure a lot of our readers and our listeners have heard of or even read from Dr. Brooks. He's a long time visitor to the site. He's written a few columns for us. He is in the thick of things, as it were, related to COVID-19. He consults regularly with the World Health Organization, does a lot of research and discussions around the vaccines and things like that. And he, you know, he tried to reassure me. He said, this should help you sleep at night. He said, all of these technologies are relatively too immature to do too much damage. If anything, the modeling applications, he said, while useful, still require the rate limiting step of animal followed by human trials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet how that's going to help me sleep, because my mind goes, okay, what about after the animal and human trials?
Yeah, but after is like, you know,
tomorrow.
Well, not tomorrow. Day after tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a movie?
Well, but that was about the weather. And that's been fine. It's, I don't know. I mean, what's fascinating to me, what this reminded me of, and this is not to always bring things back to VR and AR and all that stuff, but like about a year and a half, 2 years after we all started talking about virtual reality, there was a book that I believe was called something like The State of the Art of Virtual Reality or something along those lines. And what was really neat about it back in like 91 or 92 was scientists were using AI to more fully understand the shapes of DNA and the shapes of the building blocks of DNA. I love the fact that we now might be to a place where we can turn to an AI and say, can you show me what that would be? Can you show me what that would look like? I mean, with the correlations that they talked about that DALL-E and Midjourney and others were using to go from me saying, do Christopher Walken, but with Mickey Mouse ears, and for it to be able to look at pictures of Christopher Walken, look at pictures of Mickey Mouse ears, and know what each one was, and then put the two together. I mean, it's fun to do, like, goofy stuff like that, or it's fun to get it to, like, you know, cheat on an exam, maybe. Or it's fun to get it to, like, draw something. The fact that scientists know the terms to use and that these, you know, truly advanced artificial intelligence is would be able to understand what they're saying and say, oh, yeah, here's what that would look like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's truly incredible. At the same time, I don't know. I guess you kind of have to hope that it stays out of bad hands, either that or, like my friend said a few years ago, hope that people, you know, with good intentions are a step ahead of the people with bad intentions. So that if people with bad intentions do something, at least they'll be there to, you know, hopefully nip it in the bud.
It's exciting and frightening at the same time. It's very much like the sense of frisson that makes horror movies and horror novels so compelling.
See, what's funny to me is when we talked about doing this, you said it'll be an uplifting story.
Yeah, that was just to con you into doing it.
That's fine. Hey, if you have a question that you would like to ask us or a topic that you would like to send our way, we're open to all that stuff. Our email address is observations@macobserver.com. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at TMO Daily there. If you want to follow me online, I am at macOSKen on Twitter. You can also visit my website, macOSKen.com. Jeff, please remind people the best ways to keep up with and get in touch with you online.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter as at Clefmeister. I run the at MacObserver Twitter account. I write for MacObserver.com, and you can email me, jeffb@macobserver.com.
Advertising handled by Backbeat Media, online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple news is MacObserver.com.